You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, we may have some breaking news here. Andy, just read over the air what you just read to me.
Oh, let me find it really quickly. I had already scrolled past
Greg,
it on
Twitter. Greg, who provides breaking news for us? It's sponsored these days.
Valvoline.
Okay, here we go.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
From Ian Rappaport, the Saints are expected to sign former 49ers pass rusher Chase Young, a new weapon off the edge. The 2020 second overall pick gets a fresh start.
That's a good signing, Michael. I thought the Rams might go after Chase Young after Aaron Donald retired, but now it's too late. He's going to New Orleans. And
how much money are they giving him?
Does not say.
Did we cut you off on that read, by the way, Greg?
Yeah, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change.
Well, now we're fine.
Visit SoCalOilChange.com.
All right, time for the 2 o'clock call of the day. Let's start with Carlos in Florida. Carlos, are you actually in Florida?
Yes, I am. I'm actually in Naples, Florida.
Beautiful. What's on your mind?
Well, yesterday, Kyrie Irving, on the last game of the place, stepped out of bounds before his left-handed 20-foot hook shot. And the refs didn't stop the game to review that.
Well, when you can step out of bounds, but if you reestablish yourself before you touch the ball, you can do that.
Yeah, as long as you get 2 feet back in bounds, then you're okay there, Carlos. Mm-hmm. And that's why that even if they would have reviewed it, they wouldn't have taken it away. And by the way, I would have been against reviewing that. I'm against any review that stops the game unnecessarily. Can you imagine if they came back and after that spectacular shot by Kyrie and said, oh, by the way, technically your foot was out of bounds and you didn't reestablish inbounds, no basket.
I mean, so you're saying you would be okay if somebody illegally reestablished themselves for a game
before. Winning? You don't think it happened before in the past?
Andy, I was
but I mean, like, if say you caught it and it was blatantly there, like you would...
And the referees missed it? They missed it.
I would have left LeBron's three in the game the other day, the one that cut the game to four. I don't know if the Lakers would come back and won, but he was falling out of bounds. It was a spectacular shot. And then 3 minutes later, you come back and say, oh, you know that spectacular shot you just saw? It doesn't count.
No, look, the timing on all of it was really weird. I think it combined with Darvin's challenge. There was a lot that went really bad in the last 30 minutes of three-minute basketball.
All right, 204 call of the day. Chad in Irvine. Hey, Chad, you're on ESPN LA.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
I got a quick way for the NBA to cut down on game times and Michael played in the 80s, so they didn't do this when he was playing. Get rid of the slapping fives between free throws.
Like, yes! Throw. You're right. I don't get that either.
Like, if you get rid of the slapping fives between free throws, you could cut 10 minutes off the game. It's free throw. You're supposed to make it anyway. Let's do it.
That is a great point. And also, if you get knocked down, pick yourself up right away. Stop waiting for your teammates to come pick you up.
Yeah, there's a million ways to make the game go faster.
Okay, the high five thing is kind of genius because there's always, too, the one guy that's like, don't leave me hanging. Yeah. Don't leave me hanging, and that adds more time. Yeah.
Come on, man. All right, we'll do one more. Charlie in Northridge. Hey, Charlie, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Sure. I have a quick Kobe story to tell you guys.
Okay.
I went to a game in March 16th. It was this last Saturday, 17 years ago, 2007. And normal game in March, but Kobe ended up scoring 65 in an overtime win against Portland that game, and it was just an amazing experience. I went there with my dad, and we were sitting next to another father and son, and his son happened to be on the spectrum, and I only bring that up because oftentimes, as you know, John, kids on the spectrum can be enthralled or, you know, have a fixation on a certain thing.
Sure.
And Kobe was his guy, you know, and he, the whole game, he was okay if, like, every possession they just passed it to Kobe. Well, man, in the fourth quarter, 24 of his 65 he scored in the fourth, they were doing that. You know, they were passing it to him every time, basically, and the place was just going nuts. Overtime win. And the coolest thing about the story that I remember now is when he was walking off the court, he did that exact pose that they unveiled the statue of. And when they unveiled it and I looked at it, it just took me right back to that moment. I went, he did that. I remember that exact thing going like, and it was just an amazing experience.
All right. Thanks for the call. You know that, and he also did that, Michael, when he scored 81. Mm-hmm. That's when I remember it, when he was walking off
with the taped index finger.
Yeah. And you know, it was so funny. They kind of nailed it with that statue. It was perfect. And then it came out last week that they misspelled like four things on the statue. How does that happen?
Vom wafer?
Yeah.
I am outraged.
Yeah, Tom. I mean.
Vom wafer?
Yeah. It.
They turned Jose Calderon into Joey Calderson.
Joey Calderson?
Yeah.
It works.
Apparently it's being fixed. All right. So I wanted to ask you guys about something else. The NCAA tournament bids came out yesterday. And you guys know who Tom Crean is?
Mm-hmm.
Tom Crean was Dwayne Wade's coach in college at Marquette. Mm-hmm. He then went on to coach at Indiana. Little kind of weird Tom Crean trivia question. Do you guys know this about him, personal life? He's married to the sister of Jim and John Harbaugh.
Huh.
So John, Jim have a sister, and that sister is married to Tom Crean. But Crean now works for ESPN. And yesterday, all these bids went out. And what happens every year when the tournament gets locked is then the teams that didn't make it all get invited to go play in the NIT. So something weird happened yesterday. St. John's, Memphis, Pitt, Oklahoma, Indiana all said no. They all said, we don't want to play in the NIT. And Tom Crean was on ESPN. He says, that's a huge mistake. Here's Crean.
I would want to coach. I would want to develop my team. You've got bigger staffs than you've ever had. There's plenty of time for the portal. There's plenty of time to talk to recruits. There's plenty of time to negotiate NIL deals. There's not plenty of time to play. There's not plenty of time to get your players on the floor and give them a chance to get better. There's not plenty of time for guys to continue to play that may never get to play again. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. It's each coach's choice. I get it. But if you take away a chance to play the games, to put your team on the floor, let them opt out. All right, the bowl season has it all the time. Let it happen. Who cares? Give your players and coaches a chance to keep coaching and playing. Wow. And don't shortchange. If a guy doesn't want to play, go sit out. If a coach doesn't want to coach, go recruit. But there's got to be enough people to put five, six, seven people on the floor and go play. Makes absolutely zero sense to me.
Michael, is he right?
I don't want to use the I word.
Which is?
Ryan said Smidiot.
Okay.
But no, I played in the NCAA when only 32 teams can go when I was at Minnesota.
And didn't 1 year you just missed going because Michigan went?
We weren't allowed to go because we were on probation.
Oh, that's
right. We qualified. We would have qualified for the 32-team field if we were on probation. And it wasn't something that my class did. It was the previous class broke the rules that prevented us from playing in the NCAA tournament in 1977 when we were the best team in the country that year. Marquette won it that year. We went to Milwaukee.
And didn't you beat Marquette that season?
Beat them on their own floor like they stole our lunch money. Anyway, so I played when there was only 32 teams to go. So, I mean, a lot of teams were not involved in the tournament. And back then, when I was at Minnesota, the NIT tournament was around, and I did not want to play in that garbage tournament.
Why?
Means absolutely nothing. It's like saying, hey, the NBA playoffs have started, but all you six teams that didn't make it, why don't you guys go play in a little tournament over here and see who wins that? That's basically the same thing. It is a waste of time. I felt that way ever since I was in college, and even now I don't understand why any player would want to go play in the NIT if you didn't make the NCAA tournament. As you say, if you didn't make the dance, then why are you going to go over here and have your own cocktail party, which nobody cares about? It makes no sense.
Andy, what do you think?
Thank you, Greg.
Michael's correct. Nobody cares about this tournament.
No.
I mean, what is it called, like, not invited tournament?
No,
right.
Not interesting tournament.
Yeah, I mean, nobody cares. And, I mean, look, this is the type of thing, by the way, that the IST is looking to battle against. You know, but the difference is they are
starting. He's talking about the in-season tournament in the NBA.
They're just starting out, and they're trying to turn this thing into part of NBA culture. And we'll really know in, like, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years whether or not it took. But that's why they treated it with such importance. That's why the league wanted the Lakers to hang a banner. It's all about giving the thing prestige and credibility, because something like the NIT, you've lost that chance. Like, that tournament will never mean anything.
Never did.
Nope.
Nobody cares. Who cares about the NIT? Well, we didn't make the big, the main playoffs, so let's go over here and just do a little exhibition. Oh, this is an exhibition. Big
right,
deal.
But isn't the funnest part about being on a college team the games?
Yeah, the games are over. The season's over. You right. didn't make
well,
the tournament.
No, well, no, if you make a run in the NIT, you can play six
what
more.
What does that mean? Ooh, we won the NIT. What does that mean? You going to hang a banner?
No, but you're not going to hang a banner in the middle of the regular season, and those games are fun.
They are?
You don't like the games in the middle in the regular season?
In-season tournament?
No. Well, no, any game. I think games are fun.
Well, yeah, but not after the season's over. No, it was time to relax and work out and hang out with your co-eds.
But that's also but that's also the
Bergman,
why.
What do you think?
I think those other tournaments are just ridiculous. Michael's absolutely right. That's why we played the applause, because nobody wants to be a part of that. And if UCLA, yeah. UCLA is never going to play in the NIT because it's just a
They probably got invited.
They probably get invited. I bet you they won't play because it's not important and they should not even play in it. Don't lower yourself to that.
Players don't play all season. Let's get to the NIT. Right. That's not anybody's goal.
By the way,
then there's a CBT or whatever also. Like, it's ridiculous.
Something to keep track of. Two reports from reputable organizations that Michigan, who just fired Juwan Howard, is targeting Mick Cronin.
So, and you know who else is? Louisville's apparently targeting Mick Cronin too. But if he would be stupid to leave, he's in a blue blood school. He's going to the Big Ten. He has, as long as they can get NIL worked out, which basketball actually does use NIL at UCLA,
unlike football.
Yeah, there's no reason for him to go. He had them in the Final Four. He's a great coach. He has his players coming in. There's no reason for him to go. It'd be a downward movement.
All right, coming up next, interesting story about Bruno Mars, if you haven't heard this. I love Bruno Mars.
Idiot.
And yeah, he might be.
He is.
He might be.
If this is true.
Yeah, we'll explain. And what is going on with the Clippers, who have lost 4 out of 5? Has their season kind of spiraled out of control? Or do they have enough time to kind of correct it and get back on track? We'll get into that next. Andy in for Mace. Michael's hanging out. Pepe will be along. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, a couple things to get to here. By the way, coming up, What's Up, Fool, in about half an hour. Pepe is going to come in pretty soon. And then Michael's game today at about
dedicated
a little after
3:30.
Okay.
And his alter ego.
So if you listen to the show, you know I'm a big fan of Bruno Mars. I think he's a spectacular performer and would love to see him play live anytime I get a chance. A story broke over the weekend that Bruno is $50 million in debt to the MGM in Vegas. He loves to gamble. Now, Mason and I are both pretty libertarian when it comes to stuff like this. As long as you're not hurting anybody, I think you should be able to do whatever you want. Live your life. It's nobody's business what you do with your money or your time.
Right.
As long as you're not hurting anybody else. Also, same source, same story, says Bruno is taking home $90 million a year from his current deal at MGM.
Wow.
So he gets $90 million for performances. Suppose he gets $1 million a night every time he does something. And yet he's $50 million in debt. Is that something or nothing, Michael? In other words, should we all just stay out of it? He makes 90, so if he's 50 in debt, it's probably no big deal. But it just seems like a tremendous hole to dig yourself if you're $50 million in debt.
Yeah, he's making 90, but of course he's got to pay taxes on that. That's not $90 million in his pocket, but still that's about $50 million bucks a year he's making. I think his net worth I saw was $175 million, so he's still ahead. but it's going to catch up to him eventually. He doesn't have Jeff Bezos' money. $50 million to Bezos is like $50 to us. So he's not that rich. So I think this is something, that this kind of money digging into a dipping into his net worth. I think it is something. It's stupid.
Well, it's also something because the way he's going to theoretically get himself out of this debt is by fulfilling this residency in Vegas, except Vegas is what keeps exposing him to what leads to this debt. Like, be the equivalent of an alcoholic running up like a $50 million bar tab and being told, okay, the way you're going to work this off, get behind the bar and bartend.
Right.
Like, you're just surrounded by the whole thing that got you in the problem in the first place.
Yeah, obviously he's got a problem. He's an addict to run up that kind of debt.
Yeah, but is it anybody's business as long as he's not, you know, if you get $50 million in debt to a casino, that's when they send Biff and Rocco to check your kneecaps. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't. That's not going to happen to him. He's too big of a moneymaker for them. It's like Charles Barkley apparently gambles a lot and loses a lot.
Yeah, it's not our business, but it definitely should be his family's business. He's ruining his family's inheritance, whether he's got kids or somebody to leave the money to.
I think once you start getting into $50 million debt, it's more than just your business. I mean, there's got to be people around him affected by this, not to mention, if you care about Bruno Mars, you should be concerned that he's running up a $50 million debt.
By the way, does this matter? Sorry to interrupt you, Ireland, but according to TMZ, this is all fake news.
Really?
MGM Resorts International is saying the singer doesn't have a $50 million gambling tab on the books, even though some have said it. Calling the allegation he owns a massive sum completely false.
Well, of course they're going to say that because they need him.
So is that them just covering for him?
Probably.
Yeah, I don't think the story just came out of thin air.
They said, we're proud of our relationship with Bruno Mars, one of the world's most thrilling and dynamic performers, from his shows at Dolby Live, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they're saying it's not true.
Well, I mean, the thing is, in Vegas, his shows are a signature event, like the signature event of Pickleball Madness. It's the event of the year. Join us for 7-10s, I know, Pickleball Madness Tournament Saturday at the Agape Pickleball Center at Miles Square Park in Fountain Valley, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Food, drinks, games, fun zone, and March Madness. Plus, sign the biggest birthday card in the world for Steve Mason to celebrate Mason and Ireland's 20th anniversary on ESPN LA. RSVP now for your seat. Go to ESPNLA.com and click the Pickleball Madness logo. Special thanks to Subaru. Love is what makes a Subaru a Subaru. And now the love is electric.
That was beautiful, Andy. That was beautiful. I'm very proud of you.
All right. We mentioned the Clippers earlier. Last night, the Lakers play the Hawks tonight at Crypto.
Forget it. Wait a second. I'm just looking at a stat up on ESPN. KD, Kevin Durant, 4 points in the last three quarters of fourth quarters of play. 4 points for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, he's in a
slump.
What's
going on in fit? No, they must be ignoring him. He can't be in that kind of a slump. He's not getting shots. Anyway, what were you saying about my boys, the Clips? Because I love my Clips. I like the Clips because I love Paul George, Kawhi, and James Harden. Okay, those are my LA, Southern California AAU boys. Right, love those guys.
You took me
and
where I want to go. So last night in a game where Harden, Paul George, and Kawhi all played north of 30 minutes, they fell behind by 27 to the Atlanta Hawks without Trae Young.
I know, man. That's weird.
And they lost by 17. They've lost 4 out of 5. I said as recently as a month ago, guys, that the Clippers were the second best team I'd seen in person.
Right.
I thought the Celtics were the best team and the Clippers. Now I'm all on Denver. I don't think anybody's going to beat Denver.
Yeah.
But what has happened to the Clippers? Is Westbrook that important, Andy, to the mix over there?
He's important for their second unit. I mean, it's
brings
important.
That energy.
He brings that energy. He's actually been good.
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, I was going to say not just good. He's been good defensively for them. Like, he's actually really bought into what they want to do. Harden missed a couple games, so that matters. But I think they miss Russ a lot in that second unit.
If they stay where they are and they go into the playoffs and they're in the 4-5 game against New Orleans and they lose, New Orleans knocks them out in the first round, which is possible. New Orleans is playing really well. Do they just run it back?
They have to. They got no choice. They've already extended Kawhi. Paul George is going to get his. They bought Harden and gave up a lot for him. He's an L.A. boy. He wants to be here. Steve Ballmer's so rich that it wouldn't matter to him.
They're so pot committed at this point.
They just stay in no matter what.
I mean, what else are they going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have any more assets left at this point. They've traded everything away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at this point, they are so in for a penny, in for a pound. They have to.
Well, at least three of those four guys have value in the open market. I mean,
Harden does?
Kawhi and Paul George
for sure. Yeah.
Harden, I think a little bit, and probably not so much for us. But you guys would just run it back.
I don't know if they have a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, we always have a choice.
Well, but with everything that they have committed towards this Paul George, Kawhi Leonard era, I don't feel like they have enough outs. Like, if they want to reset, they're not really in a position to reset. Like, I don't really know how they do a clean reset.
Yeah,
you've got Kawhi on the books.
You'd have to trade Kawhi. A lot of teams would line up for him, but trade him for what? For what package?
I don't know. It depends what's out there.
How about this one? Kawhi for Wemby.
What? I've told you before, there isn't a player in the NBA I would trade Wemby for.
I'm just throwing out an idea. You don't have to take the call if you're Greg Popovich.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
I can promise you he's not taking that call.
Andy, do you agree with that, by the way? Michael and I had that discussion in the air last week. Is there any player in the league, including Jokic, including Jason Tatum, that you would trade one for one for Wemby?
It depends on how ready is your team to win.
Really?
Like, look,
you're the Spurs.
Who's the
Spurs?
Player?
Oh, if you're the Spurs, hell no. I'm not doing that if I'm the Spurs.
That's what we're asking.
Okay, no, I'm at the other end.
You're the Spurs. Like, I say to you, here's a Willy Wonka golden ticket. You can have any player in the NBA, but you have to give up Wemby.
No, because the Spurs aren't good enough right now that player they're getting in is worth giving up Wemby.
What about Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, and two first-round picks from Minnesota? So he could reunite with his French buddy, Rudy Gobert.
No, they can't play together.
Their front line would be Wemby, Gobert, and Towns. Who would beat that team? Conley would just throw the ball towards the top of the backboard on every play.
Yeah, but you're right. There's no player in the league I would trade Wemby for right now. He's too good, too young. Is he 20 yet?
Just turned 20.
20, and if you see the highlights against the Brooklyn Nets the other night, it's like, come on, somebody's making this stuff up.
I think it was Zach Harper over The Athletic who, on Twitter, was talking about Wembanyama and said, this is as bad as he's going to be. Like, this season, he said it
Think
earlier
about
in
that.
The year. This is the worst version of Wembanyama, what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, he's crazy good. Yeah, if you haven't seen him play yet, take the time to.
Those highlights look like they were AI generated.
It's insane.
So Bergman and I are both Raider fans. And something happened over the weekend that makes zero sense. We'll tell you what it is coming up next. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
That music means one thing. The great Pepe Montilla has arrived. Pepe, how are you?
El Matador.
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Michael, they're introducing me.
Oh, am I interrupting?
No, yes, I thought he was contributing to your introduction.
No, it didn't sound like that.
You're the Matador, Pepe.
No, because he's talking and then you go, El Matador.
All right, I'll shut up and let the music play.
Pepe, Michael and I already talked about it, but you weren't here when we did. I thought that was one of the most embarrassing moments for the NBA ever on Saturday night, the way those officials handled that and stuck us with a 22-minute delay. I know we live in I work in a 25-year-old building. I know stuff breaks. I know stuff happens. They should have told LT to announce the shot clock after 5 minutes, not 22 minutes. What do you think?
I agree with you, and I figure I was talking to Samuel, and I said,
Samuel Jacobo, who does the game, who has my job on the Spanish side.
I said, this is incredible. I mean, they should just go to the voice
Right. I mean, Michael said the same thing. Michael figured that out 2 minutes into the delay.
Because it happened I don't know if you remember, either one of you, that happened when we were doing the games at the Forum. It happened a couple of times, and they were doing it like that. And especially because the Lakers were playing good at one point, and then that was it.
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense to me. All right. Pepe, you like the Steelers. And Greg, this question is directed primarily at you. Over the weekend, the Bears traded Justin Fields to the Steelers for a 6th-round pick. Bergman, if that's all it took...
It's such nonsense.
What are the Raiders doing?
I have no clue.
We could have got him for a 4th or 5th-round pick?
I don't know what they're doing. I have no clue. I mean, I'm assuming that they're going to try and trade up, or they're going to just pick a quarterback in the draft. It makes no sense not to bring this guy in to have at least be a part of it about going up against Aiden O'Connell, whatever
right.
it happens to
Michael,
be.
Michael, the Raiders have no quarterbacks. What are they doing?
Obviously, they didn't believe in Justin Fields. Otherwise, they
I do, don't you?
Yeah, I think he's I think he's better than Russell Wilson. I can't believe Pittsburgh is bringing him in there to be a backup to Russell Wilson.
that's not it. They're gonna go at it. It's gonna be a competition.
It is crazy, really. When somebody told me that, I thought they were kidding.
Lawrence Tanner's the one who told me
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he told me that
I walked
too.
Into the media room the other night, and he goes, "The Steelers just traded for Justin Fields."
He said that to me too. Because
and I
he's
went,
a Steelers
"No,
fan.
You got to be kidding." And then I said, "Okay, they must have given a 2nd or 3rd round pick." And he goes, "Sixth."
Sixth.
What I mean, Tom Telesco, the new Raider GM, Andy, is smart. He's like he built the Chargers. What is he doing?
Quick clarification: according to all the reports coming out of Pittsburgh, Fields is going to be sitting behind Wilson.
Yeah, that's
like,
crazy.
Like this is not an open competition. Maybe it evolves into that. But they specifically want Fields to learn a year behind Wilson.
And one story I heard, Michael, was that they went to Fields and said, "Where do you want to be traded?" And he said, "Pittsburgh." You look around the NFL, there's no quarterback in Las Vegas where he could go right away. He could have gone to Tennessee and been the starter. He could have gone to New England.
I understand
and
why.
And been the starter. He could have gone to Minnesota.
When New England's going to draft Drake May.
All right, but wait a minute. So what? Then Justin Fields plays there until Drake May's ready. What about Minnesota?
They weren't going to trade him to Minnesota, divisional rival.
It just makes no sense to me.
It makes sense. Because he wants to get his career back on track, and he trusts the Steelers as an organization because they're well run. Go to Vegas. You guys have spent year after year talking about how they don't know what they're doing. Tennessee, not a well-run organization. A lot of these other ones you've named, they're not well-run organizations. He wants to get his career back on track.
Rather be a backup to Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh than be the starter in New England?
If you're not ready, yeah, because whatever chance is his next as a starter could be his last.
What do you mean? Let's
yeah, but
draft
I mean,
quarterback.
But Fields is not ready.
I think he is.
What's not ready about him, in your opinion?
I mean, most people don't think he's a particularly good quarterback.
I do.
Yeah. Well, no. If you remove the running, though, remove the running element.
But that's half his act.
Right, but he's supposed to be doing more than that. He's supposed to be also a passer. The passing isn't there. So, if nothing else, it signals he doesn't necessarily think he's ready.
Yeah, that's what they used to say about Lamar.
About Lamar Jackson? Lamar
passing wasn't there.
Justin Fields has never been in the same stratosphere as Lamar Jackson. And it was apparent really quickly.
I totally agree.
Lamar Jackson was better on his worst day than Justin Fields has been.
But at the same time, okay, so Wilson was in Seattle and he went to Denver. Something happened in Seattle with him. Okay, in the locker room.
Right.
He went to Denver. Something similar happened there. Okay.
Sure.
They let him go because something was wrong. So now, is he going to change altogether?
He has
going,
to, under Mike Tomlin, yeah.
Going to the Steelers? What if he doesn't change? What if he doesn't play good? I'm telling you.
Then Fields can step
I'm
right
telling
in.
You,
yeah, I see what you're saying.
And after 3 games,
right.
I think Fields is
going
to be
the here's the thing. Like, Fields has been part of the Bears, and the Bears are another organization that people think really poorly run.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are giving him a certain amount of allowances and grace, feeling like the Bears are the ones that screwed him up. If he goes out on the field and he's not ready, his next gig as a starter, all of a sudden it starts becoming Fields that's the problem. So I don't blame him for wanting to go to an organization with stability. The Steelers are about as stable as any organization.
Yeah, I'm just really mad that the Raiders didn't get into this because we need a quarterback, and then and he's sitting right there for a 5th-round pick. Michael, come on.
Yeah.
And the thing, Andy, is most of these quarterbacks have big egos. he has an ego. And how long do you think he's going to stay sitting behind Wilson? It's a different story for Love, that he was sitting waiting for Rogers to leave and see what Love is doing. Love is like a little Rogers when you see him play.
He looks like he's going to be there for 10 years. Yeah, Love looks really good. All right, well, that was... I'm just mad at the Raiders, as usual. All right, so...
Well, now you explain why Fields doesn't want to go there.
Yeah. A Red Sox pitcher got out of jury duty this week by telling the judge said, is there any reason why you can't serve jury duty? And this guy's name is Josh Winkowski. And he goes, I have to pitch in Clearwater on Thursday. And the judge goes, okay, you're dismissed.
That makes sense.
So when you get jury duty, Michael, mm-hmm. how do you handle it?
Well, I just do it like Larry David. If the depending on the race of the defendant.
Right.
Remember what Larry David did?
We walked in, he said, I don't like black people.
I don't like black people. You're dismissed because he didn't want to serve on the jury.
Well, that's an easy way to get out. But the point is, I can say I have to broadcast a game for the Lakers, and the judge is going to say, I don't care.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. But, you know, so what I always do is whenever I get the summons, I say, I'm an announcer for the Lakers. I would be happy to serve as soon as the season is over, and you can schedule me now if you want. And they all say, dismissed. So if you show a willingness to go...
Oh, no, they postpone. They don't dismiss it.
But I didn't mind being on jury. I was a foreman the last time I had jury duty. It was fun. I liked it. I did it in the off-season. When's the last time you did it?
It's about 6 months ago.
Oh, really?
But they didn't call me.
Oh, okay. So you just had to go sit there every day?
I had to sit there for one day, and they were calling, and I was thinking, what am I going to say?
Andy, do you try and do it, or do you try and get out of it?
My general thing is, if it's a time where I can do it, even if I don't want to, I will bite the bullet and just do it then. Because if you get it postponed, it may fall on an even worse time where it's like, okay, I legitimately can't do it now, and they're going to say we don't care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you can do it, just bite the bullet, get done with it. A lot of times they don't call on you, and if you do that one day of waiting around, you're done. So
they won't call on you again?
No.
Not if you go in person. You have to wait around one day.
Only one time they can call you in to serve on a jury, and if they don't call you, that's it?
No. They can call you again. It depends.
Sometimes they'll have you go in person. You wait around that day. Yeah. If they don't call you that day, you're done. There's other times where, and this just recently happened to me, you're basically on call for like a week. And you have to dial in every night
every evening.
Yeah, like 9 p.m. or something, find out do you have to report or not. But it does seem like if they don't call you that first day, they're probably not going to call you. And like once you get to like Wednesday or Thursday, you're almost definitely not getting called.
But if they call you and you don't show up, what do they do to you? Nothing, right?
No, there's fines. There's things like that.
Yeah.
How much fun?
Yeah, I mean, they could hold you in contempt. I always do it, so I never know. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, no, even if I don't like it, I do it. And the thing is, it's a difference between federal court and
state court.
The state court, they don't call me anymore at all. But in federal court, they said...
you don't mess around with the federal.
As long as you're working, you have to come and do it.
All right, so Nick Castellanos, the Phillies outfielder, said something. Mike, I'm particularly interested to see if you agree with this. He says there are a lot of baseball players. For people who don't know, Michael's youngest son, Trace, is an outfielder for the Mets. There's a lot of baseball players that are like milk. Milk is only good when it's fresh. And then if you leave it out for a while, it spoils. There's some other baseball players that are like wine. Those are the only two kinds. You're either milk or wine. You can either be in it for the long haul or you just get hot and cold. Is he right?
Yeah, I think so. Either you're going to make it or you can stick around for a long time and have a nice career and carve out a nice long career like a Chris Taylor type player. Sure.
Right. Yeah. But what's interesting, Andy, is that I think most players are like milk. You know, there are very few players that are like wine, right? Yeah.
Well, here's a player that you're hoping is more like wine than milk, John. You have the breaking news sound already?
Sure.
Per Jordan Schultz of Bleacher Report, very plugged-in reporter, free agent running backs Alexander Mattison signing with the Raiders.
That's not bad.
Not bad.
We need people.
We'll take him.
Need a running back.
Vikings guy, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's with the Vikings. And he's very versatile. He can catch passes out of the backfield and run. So,
so we still don't have a quarterback, Greg, but now we can run every play.
Now there we can run a little bit, but Madison also lost a lot of playing time down the stretch to Cam Akers.
There you go.
And Cam Akers was not very good.
All right, coming up next, What's Up, Fool? We'll get Brian and Greg in here, and they'll throw some stuff at us. That's next, ESPN LA.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks, Morales. All right, so last week, Rudy Gobert got fined $100,000 for making a money sign where he was, you know, putting his hands up, rubbing his fingers together like the money, and he was directing it towards a game official. Charles Barkley said that he thought he should have been suspended. The one thing we can never do in sports is make people think it's fixed. Do you think $100,000 or he should have been suspended?
I'm almost always, Andy, against suspension. Why would we take the players that people are paying to see off the court? Fine them as much as you want. I personally would not have suspended him. How about you?
I mean, if you fine him as much as a game check.
$100,000 is a lot.
But, I mean, I was going to say, if you fine him as much as a game check, then you can have your cake and eat it too. You can basically make him pay the price of a game check, but still let him pay. So that way, you're ultimately not penalizing the fans who paid money to see Gobert and the Wolves.
Yeah, Pepe, what do you think? Would you have suspended him?
No, I agree with you guys because you will be punishing the fans, and the fans are the ones that pay.
But Michael Barkley has a point. He says that you can't have people thinking the games are fixed. Would you have suspended him?
A game check. Okay, let's see. He makes $41 million a year, 82 games. How much do you think that works out?
$500,000.
Wow. You wouldn't know him, Mr. 1% over there.
Exactly.
The same amount I happen to be carrying around right now.
Come to me with the money questions.
$500,000. No, $100,000 is enough, Bergman. Jeez, suspended.
Greg, would you have suspended
him? I was just asking. No, I would have fined him $100,000. But let's be clear about this. Nobody's going to a game to see Rudy Gobert.
This is so personal.
He didn't play against the Lakers last game because of I missed him.
Nobody's going to see Rudy Gobert not play good defense.
How come you don't like Rudy Gobert?
Because he's overrated. He's good inside the paint. That's it. Well,
that's a big part of the game.
But you can play against that.
Greg,
he's not a defensive player of the year.
If we had Rudy Gobert, maybe Anthony Davis wouldn't be getting poked in the eye.
I don't know if he can stop him from getting poked in the eye.
He impacts the game. He might not score 30, but he impacts the game, Bergman.
No, he impacts the game. Misjudges.
You know what it is? You hate the French.
So you say what?
You hate Wemby. You said he's going
to
be
I love Wemby.
You hate Rudy Gobert.
I did say he was going to be injured.
French fries
he is not
too?
Injured.
What about French toast? You like French bread?
I like French toast. I get French toast every Sunday. It's delicious.
Greg, you are not focusing in the game.
Focusing.
No, I am focusing on the game. Because he's good in like a 5-foot area. That's it.
Pepe, whenever I have a big putt now when I play golf, I say to myself, fuck us. All right, well, who's
What's
next?
Up, Sue?
All right, guys, so I saw on NBA on ESPN on their Instagram page, I think it was yesterday, posted a video of a pay-per-view one-on-one match from 1992, Kareem and Dr. J, called The Clash of the Legends. Now, this I had no idea this ever happened.
I didn't even know that existed. Did you?
One-on-one. They had a one-on-one competition.
Right, yes. So I had no idea. It was brand news to me. The video's on their Instagram. It's a pretty cool video to watch. But do you guys think something like this, like a one-on-one pay-per-view would work today, or are these guys playing
all
together?
Do you guys all remember, Andy, you might be a little young, but Michael and Pepe, I bet you guys all remember that one year at halftime, they would show horse. They had all the great NBA mm-hmm. players play horse yes, over the yes, summer. Yeah. And they, Bob McAdoo back then was like a great scorer, could make it like any shot. Pete Maravich beat him straight across the board because Maravich. So I think one-on-one or horse might work for a halftime show.
Are you crazy? You can't even get these idiots to compete in a dunk contest. Now you want to go out there and play one-on-one. Number one, they're risking injury.
Wrong.
They're worried about getting shown up by Anthony Edwards or Kyrie Irving. Unless you said $10 million to the winner, that's the only way they may even think about it.
The horse thing is actually what I think they should replace the All-Star game with. Because the three-point contest... No, I'm serious.
Anything's better than that game.
Well, that's true.
The three-point contest shows these guys can still be really competitive. Like, they wanted to win. Mm-hmm. They don't want to get hurt in this game. So rather than trying to reconfigure a game that they clearly don't care about, try to find something they'll actually be competitive in. Horse, nobody's going to get hurt, but they will care. They will want to win.
I think you're overthinking it and that Michael's got the right idea. Think about the in-season tournament. They said every player who wins gets $500,000. Everybody balled out.
Yeah, but also
give them $500,000, Andy, and they would care.
They're already they already make money for the All-Star game, and B,
those make like $80,000.
But those games, though, in the
$80,000 is nothing
to them, it's not much.
You're forgetting though, in the IST, those games counted towards your record. Like had an incentive to care because it would affect you moving forward in the season. Like, the All-Star game doesn't mean anything to players anymore.
I agree with you, Andy. The horse will be okay, better than all the other things
the
that
horse.
They do.
Oh,
the horse.
You got to make sure you don't want to pay the horse.
Focus.
I'm so sorry.
No, but you understand what I said, right?
Oh, I do.
Only this idiot doesn't know about it.
You said fuck us.
And this idiot is Michael Jordan.
I just want you to bring on Ladies of the Night at halftime.
What's that?
Who's next?
That would get the players' attention.
Yeah.
What do you got, Brian?
So last year, MLB made some new rule changes to, limit the pickoff attempts to, increase the stolen bases. And stolen bases were high for 100 seasons, 1,000 more than the previous year. And they had another rule that they implemented this year, which is the guy covering the base can't block the bag anymore kind of deal. Or if the runner will be rewarded a free base.
Okay.
And I saw this in a spring training game. I had no idea that this was an added rule.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
Going on. Now, I think this is a pretty big one, though, because an extra couple steps, as when I was playing baseball, you're taught, try to get the, block the guy kind of a deal.
Right, put your leg in front of the base, so he's got to go around you.
So is this, it's kind of a two-part, is this going to increase stolen bases, even though we were up 1,000 from the year before? And are you a fan of the more action and play, the stolen bases, rather than years past?
Well, the one thing about blocking the bases, who was it on the Dodgers, Andy, that got hurt? Was it Chase Utley that broke up a play, Greg, and he hurt a shortstop on the other team?
It was Utley. Rosario? No, it wasn't a Amed Rosario.
Yeah, it was
Utley was the breaker.
Right.
Yes.
So
it's the Utley rule.
It may, Brian, have as much to do with player safety as it does increasing the stolen bases. And I think blocking the Michael, you can ask Trace about this, but I think blocking the plate and blocking the bases is stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just asking for people to get hurt.
Get hurt. Hindering the runners.
Yeah, but it's part of baseball.
So is clothesline in football.
No.
Bring
wait
that
a
back?
Second. Just imagine them. Ty Cobb, and you read about Ty Cobb, okay?
Yeah, but Pepe, back you know you can't knock the catcher over anymore.
That's right.
I know, but
was part of baseball for a lot of years.
If Ty Cobb was playing today, he would go around and throw the spike.
Yeah, or Pete Rose. Yeah, same thing. But that doesn't mean it's not better when Buster Posey break his leg?
Yep. Yeah, that kind of changed the rule for.
Yeah, I'm mm-hmm. Anything where you're just in baseball where they don't have pads and you're just knocking somebody over.
I don't mind for the catcher to block the home.
What? It's not allowed anymore, though, right?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
But you like that Ray Fosse play when Pete Rose ran him over and ruined his career? You remember that play in the All-Star game?
Things are going to happen
Oh, things are going to happen.
I mean, it's going to happen.
You're wrong about this. I don't want to see anybody get hurt or get their career ended.
I don't either, but it's part
Would you like to bring back
game.
Chop blocking in the NFL? Would you like to bring that back, Pepe? So they can go after Aaron Donald's
Pepe,
knees.
No gloves in boxing. Yeah, how about that? Bare knuckle it out.
Yeah, you want to go back to that, Pepe?
Pepe, we want more action on the bases, more entertainment, more people moving around the bases.
Hey, Pepe, how about no parachutes and skydiving?
Yeah, and you'll be the first one.
First one? Okay.
focus.
You guys want to see guys die.
There's changing everything.
Yeah, but Pepe, that's worth changing.
I don't have to agree with you guys.
Of course you don't. You're entitled to your opinion. You're just not right about this.
You guys didn't like the Boudreau rule. You know what the Boudreau rule is, Michael?
No, what is it?
You're an idiot.
Are you talking about Lou Boudreau?
Yeah.
What was the rule?
What year did he play?
He played in like the 1910s.
He played against Ted Williams.
Right.
And they made that for Ted Williams. They moved the switch. When they switch everything
to shift? The
shift? The
shift.
Yeah.
It's not allowed anymore.
Right. Good. You're okay with that, right?
I don't like it.
I want
the switch.
Oh, I don't.
Because the batter...
I want to see more guys on base.
Yeah, Pepe.
Yeah, but you can bat to the other...
Is that easy? Just hit it over there.
If you're good, you're good, Michael.
Yeah, but not everybody's Rod Carew or Tony Gwynn.
Yeah, well, by the way...
Do you want games to be 3.5 hours still?
Here's my argument against what you're saying. Let's say there's a guy like Max Muncy at the plate.
It was a pull hitter.
Max Muncy, all he does is pull the ball, okay? And your counter to that is, learn how to hit to the opposite field.
Yes.
But I want to see him hit the ball as hard as possible. Mm. And if you make the fielders stay in their various positions, he has a better chance to get on base.
Okay, yeah. But if he's a good baseball player, he's going to learn to hit the ball to the left field.
Right.
Like Papi. Right, Papi did it. Papi was a left hitter.
David Ortiz.
Yeah. He learned to hit to the other field. Okay.
Yeah.
Because they're good players.
But what if they put you inside so you can pull it to the shift? You can't hit it right to left field.
What if they throw it to the head and they kill you?
That's why you wear a helmet.
Well argued.
Exactly.
Who's next?
What's up, fool?
I got one more for you guys here.
Thank you.
This was a story from last week, but I want to get your guys' opinions on it. It's being reported that the Bills' new stadium, New Highland Park, in 2026, is going to have a special feature with their parking lots. They're going to be about 10 feet wide or something, enough to fit a car and a tent in the parking lot strictly for tailgating.
Okay.
Is there no better, hand-in-hand Bills fans tailgating? This is perfect for the new stadium.
NFL
right?
games, this is one thing I don't like about SoFi. There's only one lot at SoFi where you're allowed to tailgate. When I was living in Texas and going to Cowboy games, and back then there were the Oilers, tailgating was a huge part of the experience. It's really fun. I don't like it when they make rules that make it harder to tailgate.
Well, I agree with you, but at the same time, you have a lot of people that do the tailgating and take all the spaces for people like you that get there at a certain time.
So
and
this is smart
no
that they're making the spaces wider.
Yeah, I agree with them.
But I miss tailgating. I don't know.
Buffalo is so known for its tailgating
right.
culture.
And don't people jump on tables?
Right. They need more room for just the tables alone. In the tailgating. So it's a great idea for Buffalo at the very least.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Coming up next, I asked Andy, Pepe, and Michael. There is a huge debate going on right now, 14 games left in the NBA season, about who's going to be all NBA. There are only 15 spots. And to illustrate this, we're all going to make our own NBA teams when we come back. And remember, guys get paid now if they become all NBA. They can make more. Jaylen Brown last year, Michael, by getting named all NBA, didn't he make an extra $100 million?
$300 for 5 years, $60 million a year.
Supermax. So we're gonna get into it and wait till you see how different these lists will be. We don't know what the other guys are going to pick.
Well, mine will be the most accurate.
Of course, yes. I was just going to say that. Forget it, Mike can do it.
Mine's going to be different than his. Yeah. Hey, reminder, the madness is here, and be sure to spend the first official day of the tournament with the whole crew of 710 ESPN this Thursday. Pepe, are you going to make it? I talked to you yesterday. You said you were trying.
Yeah.
All right, so maybe Pepe will be there too. I know Michael will not. It's at the Islands Restaurant in Manhattan Beach.
I like Islands. Yeah.
3200 North Sepulveda Boulevard inside Manhattan Village. That's my personal islands. I go to this one all the time. It starts at 10 a.m. with the Travis and Sliwa show, then Mason and Ireland, then Sedano and Cap until 7. Come out and press the flesh, watch all the hoops. Your chance to win great prizes. 7:10 hits the South Bay Thursday. Thanks to Islands Restaurant, your local paradise. All NBA teams next, ESPN LA.